Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 16, but I'm going to Acts to read just a few verses, three or four verses in Acts 11, verses 26 through 30, okay? And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according as his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the word of God. Ask that you continue to work in our hearts and help it to burn in our hearts as the Holy Spirit only could do for us. It's a spiritual book discerned by a Spirit, the Spirit of God, and taught by the Spirit of God through men of God. And we ask that you bless it to our hearts tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And I believe right here is where it started. You can be seated. The faith promise mission giving. This offering to the saints in Jerusalem is the start. And we'll follow that through in the next few days into 2 Corinthians, where I believe it turns into the faith promise mission giving that we see in our church. And faith promise giving, I think, has been the greatest asset to missions in churches in America. It's a tremendous way of raising money, and I believe it's biblical, scriptural, and it works. It works for supporting missionaries out of your local church. Faith promise mission giving. And faith promise missions is the giving that you give to your church here. And I want to speak about the faith part of it tomorrow night. It's a very sensible faith. It's a simple faith, it's sensible faith, and it's a scriptural faith. Just the faith part of faith promise. And I've been in churches, they tell you, oh, gee, faith promise is not scriptural. I tell you what, if I could find any more scriptures on anything in the Bible, I don't know where it's at. It's wonderfully scriptural, and it can be proven anytime. Faith promise is a marvelous thing that some great preachers, men of God, came up with through the Word of God as led by the Spirit of God. And it's a tremendous method of supporting missionaries. And it's not your tithe. It's not your tithe at all. It's given on the first day of the week, as we'll turn to 1 Corinthians 16. And we'll see it's given on the first day of the week, just like your tithe. Same time as you give your tithe, you give your faith promise. And I have always been a real thing about three offerings. Number one is tithe. Number two is faith promise. Number three is building. And then there's a third one I've added over the last 10, 15 years as you grow in the Lord. It's just grace or love giving. You see a need and you give to it. It's a fourth giving, I think. You find a very scriptural giving, a pattern in the Word of God. They never build a building without taking an offering for it in the Bible. And mission giving is in the Bible. Tithing, anybody knows that there should be tithing. It's taught all through the Bible. And so there's just a part of the Lord. It's all God's. Everything I have, everything I ever have had is God's. God gave it to me. God gave my life. He breathed into me the breath of life and made me a living soul, as He did you. And I owe that God everything. It's the Lord that does it, works in our life. 1 Corinthians 16, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, Let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. Amen. You give it as you give your tithe on the first day of the week. And, missionaries, we have a problem with that. Sometimes we get paid once a month. I get paid once a month. People said, well, how do you do that then? That bumfuzzles some people. I tell you how I do it. When they pay me, I pay for the whole month. It's paid ahead 4 weeks. If I was to die, I would be paid up a bit ahead. Amen? What's wrong with giving it a little bit ahead instead of staying 4 weeks behind? Like you do your bills, amen? There's nothing wrong with that. So anybody that questions me, I just tell them the truth. I give it at the first of the month for the whole month in that next month. It's given. Every week's given. I don't give every week. And some people have problems with that. Honestly, folks, if you work and you get paid every week, give it every week, amen? Give it every week on the first day of the week. That's a wonderful scriptural way of giving. But if you get paid once a month, I don't think there's anything wrong in giving it ahead of time. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. Let's go down to verse 7. For I will not see you now, by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus unto Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are great adversaries. There was a great door open to Paul, okay? And any time a door opens, there's going to be adversaries. Many adversaries. And when God leads you and opens a door for you, there's going to be adversaries that's going to help keep you or try to keep you from that open door. And we could go to Hosea 2:15. There's an open door of hope. We could go to Acts 4. There's an open door of faith. We could go to Revelation 3:8. There was an open door to witness. You could go to Colossians 1:1-6. There's an open door of utterance, speaking the Word of God. There's open doors in the Bible it would behoove you to look at sometimes. And open, what are the open doors? I could just preach on open doors. But there's an open door for missions in the world. And I was in Australia. I'll tell you about the 30,000 whole Bibles we printed and sent over there to put covers on. And they had sat there in the print shop for 6 months. And I went to Australia to do this. The Solomon Islands opened up to the Word of God. 500,000 people opened up. And this is what happened. The government wanted to start a second language in school and didn't have any textbooks to start it with. And they agreed to use the King James Bible to teach English in every one of their schools, and they needed 120,000 whole Bibles. Now, that's an open door. Amen? And there's many adversaries, and they try to keep you from filling that open door and going into that open door. And those 30,000, the first 30,000 order we printed, was stuck in Australia. And I went to Australia to get that thing moving again. And we went to Rockhampton in the print shop, got those 30,000 whole Bibles out, and that 1 week we collated all 30,000 and we got the covers started being put on, and they got them to Solomon Islands. Amen? The first 30,000. Now think about it. They said they wanted something with Old English. A textbook with Old English. What better text? Every kid, 120,000 kids in Solomon Islands is going to be handed a Bible, King James Bible, by the government. Now, you think that's not an open door? That's an open door. And you better get in there. We failed in Russia. There was an open door in Russia. It's communist now. Why? Because we didn't go when the door was open. Japan, same thing. You can name country after country that's that way. That's opened up to the Word of God. And you know what? We failed. Adversaries. All the time. Adversaries. I tell you, you want to do something for God, you're going to run into some adversaries. Amen? There's problems. The devil don't like it, does he? He doesn't like you to take the Word of God to people that doesn't have the Word of God, and that's probably the greatest need in the world. It's just that. It's getting the Word of God to people that doesn't have it. It's a tremendous need. Open doors. So Japan became a country, opened up to the gospel. We're printing 750,000 copies of John and Romans and getting them over there now. Open doors. And we better take advantage of it when we have open doors. And I know we run into lots of problems. And there's stops and there's all kinds of places that we have to get through. But I think God is able, amen? He is able. We just don't need to give up. We just need to keep going. As the preacher said, we just need to keep going for the Lord. And God is, He wants people reached with the gospel. And more than I do. I have a burden for lost souls, but I got news for you. God has a bigger burden, amen, than I ever could have. God wants the world won to Christ. And He'll only use us. I know He doesn't have much, but He uses us, amen. Because the reason being, He doesn't need much. He's everything. And that's the reason. You know, sometimes we think we're just unworthy. We are. But we need to realize that. And we know that we serve one that is worthy. Amen? And I promise this lady, I need to pray. Lord, we pray right now, dear God, for Edward, that You'll convict his heart of sin and save his soul soon. We pray, dear Lord Jesus, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I promised her I'd pray for Edward to get saved. Amen. And I'd failed to do that. And I apologize. I'll keep praying too. Sure will. An open door, many adversaries. Go up to verse 11, please. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quiet you like men, be strong. Let your things be done with what? Charity. Just love. Just love. Just love. You know, charity, that's love in action. I mean, that is the action, that's the verb. In love is charity. It's just carrying out the duty of loving. It's doing it. It's not just saying. If I just keep telling my wife, I love you, sweetheart, and I do, but I just keep telling her, I love you, sweetheart, you know, pretty soon she's going to get sick of it. I have to once in a while show her that I love her. Do something for her. We just had her birthday's on the 17th of March. Our anniversary's on the 30th. I took her away for three nights. We just went away and had a good time together. And I bought her a gift. You know? Man, once in a while you should buy your wife a gift. And don't let her know about it. Just do it secretly. Most of us, we have such an ego problem, amen? We have to tell everybody five times before we do it, and then half the time we're so old, we forget to do it. You know? That's the truth. I know. Just ask me. 15. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achai, and that they were what addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Okay? Same ministry we're talking about over in Acts 11 with Agabus, the prophecy, the prophet that prophesied that this was going to take place, the dearth, and the disciples said, hey, we want to help. Amen? We want to help. Well, this family was addicted to it. Now let me show you something in 16 and 17. But they submit and said that ye submit yourselves unto such. Now, what are they saying here? They're saying in Open Door Baptist Church, they should be some people in this church that's addicted to the ministry of the saints and missions. Amen. That's what you're to do. Somebody in here, some family, Stephanas, they was addicted to missions. Somebody in this church should be addicted to missions. And then what did it say? All the rest of us should help. Amen. Just join in and join. Hey, don't think they're crazy. You know, they got a few screws loose to you. You know, sometimes you think these people, man, I've got a friend that I discipled, led to the Lord, her and her husband, and this lady, Tanya, that lady embarrasses me to death every time we get together. She is so addicted to winning people to Jesus, she embarrasses me. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever been with someone like that? They're a little bit loose. I tell you what, you never meet a better soul winner than this lady. I've never seen. Carlos Demers would have come close. But this lady, she's a stewardess on an airline, and before she gets back home on one trip overseas to Europe or whatever, she'll have 12 people saved. And she's a stewardess. She's working on the job. She's not got fired yet. Most of us get fired for that, amen? She embarrasses me to death. But you know what? She's addicted to winning people to Christ. And I tell you, if you're embarrassed about that, you got a problem, amen? When I'm around her, I get embarrassed. But it's my lack of spirituality. It's not her lack of spirituality. See what I'm saying? But somebody in this church should be just like Stephanas and his family. They should get addicted to the ministry of the saints, to the mission program of this church, and do the mission program and just make other people embarrassed. And then the rest of us, it plainly states, listen, God is for those people. Look in 16, that ye submit yourselves unto such. They should embarrass us. And then we should be happy in joining them in the mission program of this church. We should be happy in doing it and being a part of it. And all of us should be a family. Amen? A family of God together with some people that is really addicted to this thing that motivates the rest of us to just be normal. Amen? To just be normal in it. And ye submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunas and Achaicus, whatever that name is, for that which was lacking on your part, they have what? Supplied. In other words, it sort of sounds like they all fit together and get the job done. Amen? They get the job done. And it's all because of the Lord. Amen? It's all because of the Lord. And I want to go read. Let's go to Genesis. And I'll close with reading a verse in Genesis. Genesis 22. And a lot of you know what Genesis 22 is about. It's about Abraham taking his son to offer him up. as a sacrifice. Amen. But let's read just five verses, and I'll close with one word. With one word and a definition of it. In verse 1, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am." It sounds like he's willing to do whatever God wants him to do. Amen? He's being obedient to God, isn't he? He's an obedient man. And he said, "Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, that rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here while with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." And I want to use that word worship right there. Abraham is taking his son up on a mountain to offer him up as a sacrifice. And he said, "I and the lad, we're going to worship the Lord." And I challenge you tonight about worshiping God. And it's this. It's taking that which you love in your life and giving it to someone that you love more. That's worship. It's taking something that you love a great deal in your life and freely giving that to someone you love more, which is God. Think about it. What in your life right now, think, what do I love in my life so much that I couldn't give it up to someone that I love more? Think about it. What is it? I don't know for you. I can't answer that question for you. You can. It's between you and God. But don't we love Him? Don't we love Him? We love Him because He first loved us. Amen. And gave Himself for us. But think right now, what is that thing in your life? Is it maybe your life? Is it maybe one of your children? Maybe you haven't even given your children to God. But it's something you love a great deal. Think about it and pray about it. And you're willing to give that to someone you love more. You think about it. It's not about money all the time. It's not about money. If God's got you, He's got your money, I promise you. It's more than that. It's more than money, like the preacher said. Money's a part. But this thing is about more than money. It's about God. And it's about, what do I love so much that I can't give it to someone I love more? Amen, preacher.